So how do we stand out in a crowd? There is an idea I have that might help you to do this. A little bit of where this came from. I used to work in a factory not so long ago, and it was like pretty much any factory you could think of. It was full of lots of people doing the same things day in, day out. It was dirty, it was smelly, and we weren't making much of a difference in the world, and we were given heavy workloads, and it was really stressful with lots of deadlines. In fact, I've got to be honest with you, secondary school maths teacher. That was my factory, and this is what I was producing. I was producing thousands and thousands of children who could pass tests. And I looked at my boss's job one day, and I thought, apart from your salary, there's nothing about your job that I want. And that started to sow the seeds of entrepreneurship inside me. So there I am in this factory, and I looked at my boss's job and thought, I could do something else here. I wanted to plan my exit from teaching, and I took a job in sales. I didn't realize at the time, but actually when I was in teaching, I was selling, because I was selling a dream. I was selling a dream of a better future. I was selling a dream of prospects and a dream of hope. And every single one of us is in sales. You're in sales right now. You might not be selling a dream, but you might be selling products and services, not now, but sometime in the future. You might be selling a vision. You could be a leader, trying to engage people with your leadership style, or trying to get them to buy into your vision of where you want your empire to go. You could be selling an idea, a system, a methodology, a concept. You could be selling an argument, an opinion, a view. You might well be selling an excuse, a reason, an explanation. Above all, the number one thing we're all selling is ourselves. If I don't buy you, I won't buy everything else that stands behind you. People buy people. And if I get to know you and get to like you and get to trust you, then the chances are I will buy from you. And we're all selling this idea of us. You want other people to choose you, to promote you, to hire you, to pay you, to go out with you, to marry you, to recommend you. How do we stand out so that we're the one that gets chosen? Now, a few years ago, when I took this job in sales, part of my role was networking. I had to generate leads for this company, as well as convert those leads and sell them. So when I realized I had to do that, I got my brand new business cards and I went out to every single business-related event that I could. And I didn't realize how much networking I was doing until I came home one evening and my wife was there with a bottle of wine and some chocolates. And I said, what are we celebrating? Rob, it's been 2 years since your first networking event. And the subtext had been, I've not seen you for that long. It's been 2 years. It had gone like this. I'd gone to the opening of an envelope. I was everywhere. Every single business event you could think of, that was me. And she said to me, I was wondering. And I thought, there's a tough question coming up here, because women can ask men some very tough questions. Like, does my bum look big in this? Will you do this magazine quiz with me? Is she prettier than me? Do you still love me after all these years? Would you marry anyone else if I died? These are all tough questions. And men, we've got nowhere to go with these. It always ends badly. So Amanda, my wife, had a wonderful question for me, and it was a very legitimate question. She said to me, how much business have you got from all of this networking? Because I've not seen you. It's a fair question, and I didn't know the answer. So I went into my office, I did some checking, and this is my track record for 2 years of networking. Have a look at this and be impressed. I went to 126 business-related events. I spent 284 hours of contact time, pressing the flesh, shaking hands, saying hello to people, swapping cards. That's not including travel to and from the events. How many days out of my life was that? I spent $7,485 on breakfast, lunches, dinners, memberships, bacon sandwiches. And I collected 987 business cards. Here's a question for you. How much business do you think I got from all of that activity in 2 years? And I'll give you a clue. It's a really round number. Nothing. It felt like I was busy. There was always another event to go to. There was always another business card to collect. There's always another hand to shake. But in reality, I got no business from all of that activity. And when I realized this, it was a moment of intense shame. I was humiliated. I felt a lot of regret that I'd wasted all this time, particularly as I'd only been married a couple of years. And I made the decision that something had to change. I had to think a little bit differently. I either went back to teaching, which for me was a failure, or I became world class at this network. And it always puzzled me why some people got the business and some didn't. How some people stood out and some didn't. So I started to look into it, and I thought, if some people are making money from this networking and business stuff, then if I do what they've done, I can get the same results. So I began to be a student of selling yourself. And I started to notice what made some people stand out and what didn't. And I'm going to share with you what I found. And to do that, I'm going to explain to you the problem. And the problem is in one word, noise. It's very noisy out there. Let me explain this noise to you. There are millions and millions of digital TV channels all over the world now. Millions of audio channels and radio channels. You can listen and watch anything you like at any time of the day or night. It's noise. There are so many mobile phones now, muscling in on our lives, making more noise. Social media is the new inbox. You conquered your old inbox, and now you've got three or four other inboxes and loads of other messages and loads of other people to connect with and follow up and build the relationship with. But it's more noise. It's more activity. It's more clutter. The World Wide Web dumps billions of megabytes of information on you every single minute of the day. It's noise. We are in a bulging population. More and more people graduating with the same qualifications as you, looking for the same jobs with the same looking CV or resume, looking for the same pay packet to service the same customers and clients, selling the same products and services. Everything looks and sounds the same. And everyone's saying, buy me, choose me, pick me, promote me, hire me, pay me, go out with me, marry me. And do you know what the world hears? One word. Blah, 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 blah. It all sounds the same. And as the wonderful marketer Gary Hamel tells us, sameness sucks. How do we stand out? How do we make an impact? How do we look a little bit different to everybody else? There is a way. I've got the answer, I think. And it's in your reputation. It's in your good name. Let's explore what a reputation is. Very simply, a reputation is what people see, feel, think, do, and say when they come into contact with you or your name. That's your good name. That's people talking about you when you're not there. Are you okay with people talking about you when you're not there? Or would you rather not be talked about? Your reputation is your personal share price on the stock market of life. It's that little piece of real estate in people's minds that they occupy thinking of you. And it's very hard to get a bit of that. When your share price is high, people will find you, invest in you, look for you. In short, your reputation is your rep, which is the reason everyone pays. There's three things we want people to pay us. The first thing is we want people to pay us attention. We know about how much clutter there is. How do we get noticed? How do we clamber above all of the dross that is out there and get people to say, I'm just a little bit different and I'm the one that you want? We want to solve the tyranny of choice, which says when people need what you do, how can you ensure that they pick you first above and beyond all of their other choices, including the choice to do nothing? The second thing we want people to pay us is respect. And that looks like people supporting you and encouraging you and paying you a fair day's wage for a fair day's work. It means people defending you if you're attacked. It means people treating you nicely. And when you have a good name and a good reputation, you will get the respect that you deserve. And the third thing we want people to pay us is money. The bigger your reputation, the more you will get paid. That's the way it goes. Now, I don't apologize for talking about money. The late Zig Ziglar tells us that money's very important. It ranks right up there with oxygen. And as an American minister says to us, he's called the Reverend Ike, he said, the best thing you can do for the poor is not to be one of them. Money's important, makes the world go round. And in the good old days, money was the currency of business. There weren't checks and credit cards and bank balances. You did business on a handshake. You did business on a reputation. You did business on a good name. You fulfilled your promises and your obligations, and people would come back to you and the word would spread. And there are many benefits of a great reputation then and even now. Because what we find is the people that stand out with the strong names are the ones that get picked. The ones that are chosen. The ones that get the perks, the interesting projects. The ones where people come to them instead of you chasing after everybody else. So what's your reputation? What are people saying behind your back? And more to the point, how do you get them to even think about you? If we can get people talking and thinking about us, we've got a chance to be the standout, number one, compelling, obvious, go-to choice for what we do. So I'm going to share with you how we can build a strong reputation. We sow the seeds of it when we're younger. A reputation takes a lifetime to build. It's like a big oak tree growing from a little acorn. And they say that the worst time to plant a tree is now. The best time is 20, 30 years ago, but at least you can start now. And I'm going to start by giving you four things that you can do to sell yourself and stand out in a crowd of equals. Let's start with this red box. Let's bring in the red box by creating a gray box. And let's put everyone in the world like you in that gray box. It's very homogenized, it's bland, it's commoditized. If you look and sound the same as everyone else, then when people need what you do, they'll go to the cheapest or closest or most convenient they can find. And that's not a good war to be in, because there's always someone willing to do it cheaper than you. So we need the red box. And the red box says, what is it about me that is unique? What is it about me that my competition cannot duplicate or replicate? What is it that they would find it difficult to copy or claim? So what goes in your red box? Let's analyze it. Your red box starts when you're born. And we build in your character. This is how we build a reputation and a good name. Your character is what you stand for, what you hold dear, what's important to you, your values, your principles. It's your very core. On top of that, you start to grow and learn and you build experience. The experiences you've had in your life, I haven't had. They are unique to you. And when you start to talk about your experiences, you're operating in the red box. If you talk about the stuff that everyone else has done, you're in the gray box. And that's difficult for you to stand out. So the skills that you have, the talents that you have, I've not got your weapons. I've got different weapons. I've got different talents. I've got different DNA. So I'll fight a different battle to you in a different way. But there are ways that you can beat me in talking about what's unique to you. Your expertise, the knowledge that you've got. You've got stuff in your head that I couldn't even dream of. But when you talk in more general terms, it's more bland and it doesn't stand out as much. So build on your character and your inner being with everything you can learn and train and get good at. After that, you get your personal brand. Your personal brand is the outward manifestation of all the things you've got going on inside. It's the way you walk, it's the way you look, it's the way you talk, it's the way you deal with people. It's your website, it's your business card, it's your dress sense. It's all of those messages that come out from what's on the inside. And finally, is your reputation, which is what people think when they come into contact with all of those messages. When they interact with your personal brand, what are they thinking? If you can talk about what's in the red box, your uniqueness, you've got a chance of standing out. Concentrate on what's in here every time you're interacting with people and building your brand, your elevator pitch. Your resume, your CV, the conversations, the pitches that you do. concentrate on the red box. The second thing is build a network. Now you're out there, you've got to build that brand with more people. I don't take my word for it that networking is a fantastic way to build your reputation. I'm going to share with you some quotes from famous people that think networking works. But think of it like this. Your network is who you know, and your reputation is who knows you. The bigger your network, the bigger your reputation. You've been doing it since you were very, very young, networking. It's just talking to people and having conversations. Robert Kiyosaki says the rich people build networks. Your richest resources will always be in your richest relationships. And it's no good being famous if you haven't got people to be famous with and for. Brian Tracy says that most jobs are filled through networking. And Peter Drucker, one of the world's most famous management consultants, says that all the deals are done over mealtimes. And yet we don't teach it in our universities. So build your network and dig that well before you're thirsty. The third thing you must do is raise your profile. If you don't have a high profile, it's like being brilliant but anonymous. It's having a market stall and putting it in the desert. No one will see your brilliance if you don't raise your profile. To raise your profile, two of the best things you can do is speak and write. Whether that's a blog or a book or a presentation or a body of work, share your ideas. Raise your profile, because it's no good being the best kept secret in the world. The fourth and final thing is to be authentic. You might be very good at what you do, but if you try to be somebody else, you only get a hybrid of what you should be. Be authentic. And this looks like being yourself, not trying to be someone else, not trying to imitate someone else, because you might be good at being someone else, but you should be great at being you. And as Oscar Wilde told us, be yourself, everyone else is already taken. Authenticity comes through from the very inside of your character, right through to your personal brand and right through to that reputation. We want to get through the noise. If you talk like everyone else and sound like everyone else, you will never stand out. But the good news for you is that we are in tough times and in dark times. Anyone can stand out and make money when times are good. You can be lousy and do well when the economy is good and everything's going great. But when times are tough like this and the outlook is gloomy, you have a fantastic opportunity to stand out like a beacon, like a lighthouse, by sounding and looking and being just a little bit better than everyone else. And to do that, focus on your red box, and you will become the number one go-to choice for what you do. Thank you.